This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. My power's turned on. Stop it right now. I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes.
Well, this is our fight song for people who are taking under their belt real consideration of just how frightening, just how dangerous, just how awful the proposed tax bill is. I refuse to say tax reform. It is not. It is a tax bill for the rich. But those people now who are going to join us are going to tell us what they're doing in response to it. And one component of how this bill particularly affects them. So the Senate tax bill passed with votes split on party lines. Well, we're going to focus now on one of its egregious components. The proposed tax bill would raise taxes on graduate students by nearly 400%. Graduate students serve our communities. They teach classes. They grade papers. They are vital to education, to higher education. They are the future of innovation and research and demand that graduate education be affordable. Noah Charles, who studies theoretical physics at Ohio State, and Jenna Freudenberg, who studies astronomy at Ohio State, are organizers of the National Grad Tax Walkout Protest, and we are delighted to welcome them to the airwaves.
Thank you.
I'm delighted. And the first thing I want to start by, wow, you've got like 49 universities across the country to walk out. So before we find out how you organize them and what their great sentiment about the issue is, let's talk about specifically how negatively graduate students are affected by this tax proposal, this tax plan of the Trump administration. And why don't we start with Noah, and at any time, Jenna, please interchange, interact with Noah. It's your forum.
Yeah, so I think actually, Jenna, if you want to take this one.
Okay, so basically the way that graduate education has gone in this country for quite some time, especially for students who are pursuing PhD programs like ourselves, is that we do research, we do teaching, we assist our professors, and in exchange for these services, we are provided with a modest stipend so that we can support ourselves and pay our rent and feed ourselves. And as part of that package, oftentimes our graduate tuition is either reduced or waived altogether, or sometimes paid on our behalf to the university by our department. And under the provisions in one version of the bill that's making its way through Congress, that tuition waiver or tuition reduction would be counted as income that is taxable to graduate students. And so that means that in the eyes of the law, instead of making, you know, $20,000 or $25,000 a year, I would be making more like $50,000 a year, even though that's simply not my reality. And that means that my taxes would go from something around $1,500 a year to something probably over $5,000 a year. And that's certainly not even the most dire scenario. I have friends who would be in even more dire straits were this bill to go through. So we want to make sure that people are aware of not just the fact that our taxes are being raised, but the drastic degree to which they're being raised, a degree to which, you know, this would make many of us unable to afford to continue in our programs without taking on student debt. And that's something we're unwilling to do because many of us already have student debt from our undergraduate degree.
Noah, why don't you pick up from there?
Absolutely. So we're also very worried, and Jenna brings this up, about provisions that cap the student loan interest deduction. Many of us, as Jenna mentioned, have undergraduate loans, and this would be extremely detrimental to us. Additionally, because taxable income would go up so much, many of us wouldn't qualify for some of the benefit programs we rely on now. And in specific, there are some educational credits that we rely on that are also being gutted. So for instance, the bill eliminates the lifetime learning credit, which is a 20% credit on the first $10,000 of educational expenses. The bill also taxes university endowments, which universities may respond to by raising tuition. We're certainly not sure exactly how they will respond until the bill passes and until the IRS decides what it's going to enforce and how it's going to enforce it, but we will see.
Well, and I want to point out as well, there's a difference here between, for example, public and private universities. We're both students at a public university. Many of our friends at private universities, and we've talked widely to other students, you know, through our social networks at other universities, many students at private universities in one way would be even more impacted by this bill because they tend to have higher levels of tuition. And so, of course, that means their waivers or their reductions would be more substantial and they would be taxed more heavily on those. On the other hand, you know, as I said, we're both students at Ohio State, which is a public university. To a certain extent, you know, people have been saying, well, can't universities just reduce tuition? Although, as Noah points out, there are good reasons that they may be financially strapped under this bill and unable to do that. But even if some sort of creative accounting was able to be done, students at public universities are going to suffer because, you know, the state legislature controls our tuition levels. So administrators here don't have quite the latitude that administrators at private universities might have to accommodate any of these tax changes.
I'm not sure that people don't listen to this and feel that there's a certain self-indulgent, graduate students, you're not workers. So the first thing, or the second thing, really, let's dispel that myth and let's give an idea of the kind of work that you really do and what this means personally for you as students, as workers, being able to continue your education, just how critical, how severe this is, and how it works. Jenna, Noah, please.
Noah, I'll let you take that one.
Sure. So at Ohio State, as at many universities, students come in and graduate students come in and are often required to take certain classes for the first few years. Often during that time, students are employed as teaching assistants. So they teach undergraduate classes, they grade undergraduate work, and they perform other teaching responsibilities. In fact, some graduate students come in as instructors of records for classes. We've met many people in the humanities for whom that's true. After that, graduate students will often be employed as research assistants. That is to say, they do the bulk of the sort of day-to-day work in many of the laboratories at research universities. In humanities and social science departments, they often carry out other kinds of research functions as well. So most graduate students are working 20 to 40 hours on paper, but anyone who's actually been through graduate school can tell you that that's a sort of a gross underestimate of the actual number of hours that are worked. I would say that 40 to 60 are the estimates for the people that I've talked to. So graduate students are workers working full-time jobs. And even though they often receive meager pay and very few labor benefits, they do it because we love our subject matter. I mean, there's no other way to put it. We're all here because we're passionate about one subject or another. And so it's not just work that we do for the money, but, you know, money is certainly always tight.
You know, one of the things that we had spoken about off air, Noah, was the issue of what this potentially means also for diversity, because there is perhaps a misunderstanding about the class background also of people who are in the doing doctoral work, doing dissertations. Who are these students that you are talking about, and what would this mean for diversity if there is this what is represented now as a 400% increase, tax increase for graduate students.
I'm very glad that you bring that up, Mimi, and I'm sure that Jenna has some thoughts about this as well. But specifically, graduate students are not as diverse as the country as a whole, but diversity has been increasing in recent years. And here I'm talking about racial and ethnic diversity, but also class diversity. One of the great things about the system that we have now, even though it has many, many flaws and problems, is that you could come in with any class background and you could, as long as you can pay your rent, you can pay your bills, you can buy food, you can still do it as long as you can do the work. And that's been a huge boon to people of more working class backgrounds who enter graduate education. Certainly, I come from a very middle class family. My father's an immigrant. You know, this presents a reasonable opportunity for people of sort of all class backgrounds at present. And I think that we would see that decline markedly if it were only the ultra wealthy who could go to graduate school. Jenna, do you have some comments as well?
Yeah, I would say that I would reemphasize what Noah is pointing out, which is that higher education, and I think graduate education in particular, is actually a great social equalizer. So even though, over the past several centuries, perhaps it's true that only the wealthy could afford higher education, but certainly we would hope that in America in the present day and age, that's no longer true, and that we're making education accessible to anyone who wants it. And as Noah points out, you're provided this graduate stipend when you do the work of a graduate student. And so regardless of class background, if you are in graduate school, you're getting paid this stipend. All of us are, living in sort of the same quality of housing and buying the same food and working in the same labs and doing similar research. And so in that sense, and both in that sense, and also in terms of our future employment prospects, graduate education is a really potent equalizer. And now both Noah and I come from fields where diversity has been a particular problem and continues to be a particular problem. I think strides have been made over the past couple of decades in terms of increasing representation of women, of ethnic and racial minorities, and I think also, as Noah points out, in terms of increasing representation of different class backgrounds. And if this tax bill is to go through, I think that would be a huge blow to those strides that have been made, even though there's more work to be done. If graduate education is only available to the wealthy, that will only make our education system more regressive. It will diminish the creativity because it will have different we won't have the same diversity of viewpoints and of backgrounds of people who are doing the work and doing the academic research. And I think that's going to hurt us on a number of levels. And certainly it's going to decrease the number of working class, lower and middle class people who have access to these levels of education.
So talk now about the walkout that's going to be occurring, how you managed to organize it. Was this mostly a social media process of going across state lines? Because we are way behind in so many areas, crossing state lines to really mobilize and organize, to build movement, to build organization against the sustained attacks of the Trump administration. How'd you put this together?
You know, Mimi, I think one of the things that's underappreciated is that there is a real sort of rage buried under the surface at the way that these cuts are being made, about the just general unfairness and injustice of the whole Trump program. And so a lot of it for us was just trying to coordinate grassroots efforts that were popping up by themselves. So we're actually members of the sort of eastern half of the United States conference, Save Grad Ed movement, whereas a different movement popped up on the West Coast, this grad tax walkout. And it was really by collaborating between the two groups that we were able to get so many schools, now 50 schools in 30 states, to sign up to do actions. So I think that really it's oftentimes a matter of just connecting grassroots efforts that pop up on their own. Jenna, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, I would just echo that and say that I've been really inspired and impressed by the amount of grassroots energy that exists around this issue in particular and on the issue of opposing the tax bill in general. I've heard some people say, oh, it's going to be much more difficult to rally around this particular issue around the tax bill because it's somehow more boring than, say, the healthcare debate or something like that. But I certainly have not found that to be the case. Of course, when you're talking to people whom it will hit directly in the pocketbooks, you know, we have maybe a little more of an incentive even to organize around the issue, but the grassroots energy has been amazing, certainly.
And,
Just to piggyback on that just a little bit, we have seen a lot of energy from graduate students, but we've also seen a remarkable energy from faculty, from staff, and from undergraduate students. The amount of solidarity that we've encountered as we've been organizing is honestly remarkable, and I think it's going to be necessary as this struggle continues.
Well, one of the other things, it's all one struggle, the healthcare components, Medicaid, Medicare, all these other things that are in enormous jeopardy as a result of the tax bill. So is it all one struggle? What are you finding in terms of the understanding of the student body, the graduate students, and the broader community in response to this tax bill?
Well, I think what we've come across as we've done sort of big actions here at Ohio State is that as soon as people start talking about the problems that are endemic in higher education, everyone starts realizing that these problems might have the same locus. So just to share a couple of numbers, the Roosevelt Institute did a study recently and found that between 1989 and 2014, state and local governments decreased per student spending at public colleges and universities by 25%. And since the Great Recession, that's actually just accelerated. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities actually has a great little tooltip that you can use, a map that you can pull up and see how much that number has decreased in your state since 2008. In Ohio, it's 15%. So, I mean, these cuts have been just enormous in the last 10 years, and that's really affecting things up and down. So when universities are getting less money from their states, public universities now, obviously I'm talking about, when public universities get less money for their states, they respond in basically two ways. They need to raise more revenue on the backs of students, usually by raising tuition, and they need to make cuts. Those cuts mean that they are forced to hire adjunct faculty. They're forced to rely more on low-paid graduate labor and postdoc labor. They're forced to pay their staff less. And so all of these problems in public education really come from, I think, personally, this defunding effort that we've seen largely spearheaded by Republicans, but I think not prioritized by Democrats at all. And so, you know, in any of the many states where these cuts have been really severe, think Arizona or Wisconsin or Missouri, you know, people will tell you that it gets bad. The research universities suffer enormously. It's very hard for them to attract talent. But it's also just very hard for non-academic staff, for graduate students, and for others. And I think it is indeed all the same struggle insofar as we believe that there is an incredible public function to be served in continuing to fund public higher education. And we also feel that private education will benefit if more public money flows into the system. Private universities still receive grants, for instance, from many public funding agencies, think the DOE, the NSF, NIH. And so it's very important, I think, that we recognize that the Republicans are doing this to all of us, and that resisting them is important. And recognizing that we are all resisting them is very important. Jenna, do you have anything else?
Well, I would just add that I think everything you say is absolutely true, and I think that you can even broaden what you're talking about, the scope of that, to go beyond just education and talk about how, you know, we've seen a pattern over the past several decades, at least under Republican administration, certainly, of increasing cuts to all kinds of public programs, and public education has been a particular victim of that, and I think this bill is just the latest in a long line of assaults, really, on higher education and on publicly funded services. We're definitely seeing this trend away from the equalizing force of, you know, funding public programs so that people of any income level can access them, and an increasing trend towards services that can only be accessed privately by those who are wealthy. And so I think in that sense, also, it's all one struggle, and we need to continue to make sure that that is part of our message as well.
And in the last minute or two that we have, tell us what you think the demonstration is going to look like. Are we going to shut the university structure down? Are we going to get those politicians in Ohio and across the country on board to defeat the Trump tax plan?
I'll go ahead and take that. So one thing that's incredible about the walkout and the related movements going on to all those different events is that there's a huge diversity of different events going on. Here at Ohio State, we're actually hosting a grade-in and a teach-in. So we'll be going to our student union and taking our work that we do as graduate students, our grading, our research, and we'll be doing that work publicly as a demonstration of the value that we hold when it comes to the university and education in general, and we'll be hearing from our peers exactly how this bill will affect them, and we're going to be doing that publicly so we can raise awareness of that in our university. We have held a rally already that attracted several hundred students and faculty to our central area of campus, and I know that many of the other 50 universities that are holding events today are doing events of that sort. People are gathering petitions, people are phone banking, and yes, in some universities, people are in fact walking out of their classrooms and holding work stoppages. You know, we're a bit limited in our ability to do that because we're considered public employees in Ohio, and our unionization and collective bargaining and work stoppage rights are actually highly curtailed. Some of our colleagues at private universities have less of a concern surrounding that. So there are people who are engaging in that kind of action as well, and it's something that we hope to see spread in the future.
Fantastic. And actually, we'll bring you both back. We don't need Neil deGrasse Tyson. We've got a young astronomer here. She can talk about that. As Noah kind of put it, he's the theoretical physicist. He deals with the macro or the smaller. And we've got the, I don't know, how do you describe it, your work, Jenna?
Oh, I study cosmology. So that means that I study the largest scales in the universe. I study where we came from, where we're going, what it's all made of.
Well, that's pretty heavy. I hope you can answer that for us. I'm afraid I know where we're going, but I'm sure you can educate me on that. And what about your work, Noah?
I study materials, but in particular, I study electronic systems. So very, very small things, kind of exactly the opposite of Jenna, but we still get along.
Well, thanks for your energy. Thanks for the organizing efforts. Keep it together after today. Of course, we will defeat this tax plan, which will permanently, if we don't, alter the country, the rule, consolidate the plutocracy, create even a broader wealth divide, and turn the country over entirely to the robber barons. We don't want the Waltons, the Koch brothers, to be in control of this country. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Thank you both for joining us. Noah Charles, Jenna Freudenberg, both students at Ohio, graduate students doing their doctoral work at Ohio State, and organizers for this nationwide walkout. Oh, by the way, quick, what's the contact for people who want to plug in, who are just finding out about this?
So you can email us at savegraded@gmail.com with any questions or comments. You can also look us up on Twitter at SaveGradEd or at GradTaxWalkout.
Fantastic. Noah Charles, Jenna Freudenberg, you're great. Thanks. We'll see you on the picket line.
Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you so much, Mimi. Because I've still got a lot of fight left in me. Losing friends and I'm chasing sleep. Everybody's worried about me in 2D. I'm in 2D. It's been 2 years. I miss my home, but there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe. Yeah, I still believe. I'm not afraid to die.
couple of hundred graduate students at the University of Minnesota walked out of class and off the job today. They were demonstrating against President Donald Trump's tax reform plan.
With Trump as your president, we are going to be celebrating Merry Christmas again, and it's going to be done with a big, beautiful tax cut.
The president visited Missouri today to sell the American public on the virtues of his tax reform bill making its way through Congress. He also has to win over some reluctant Republicans. The bill also includes provision that would count graduate tuition waivers as taxable income. That's why on the steps of the administrative building of the U of M, these students called on university leaders to denounce the House version of the federal tax plan. Our Nina Moyney had a chance to speak with some of those grad students today. Nina?
Hi, Frank. Right now, many master's and PhD students' tuition is covered, and that money isn't taxed as long as the student does research or teaches for the university. Now, that would change under the current plan that the House has passed. It's an additional cost many of the U of M students told me they fear they won't be able to afford.
I make even every month, and I think that this would just put me over the edge.
Years into a Hispanic Studies PhD program, his voice is one of many chanting at the Kauffman Plaza on the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus.
I'm in my third year now, and if they passed this 2 years ago, I definitely would have not gone on. I don't have the resources, the family resources, or the extra job to kind of maintain.
Nico Ramos Flores says he makes about $1,500 a month teaching intro classes at the university. He estimates the current House tax plan would increase his taxes by at least a couple hundred dollars a month. But the rally is about more than a federal tax plan.
We're currently paid relatively little to be able to support ourselves, and I have a family as well.
The volunteer group Grads United is urging university leadership to publicly oppose the House version of the tax plan and look for ways to improve the quality of life for grad students.
We want to sort of make the broader point that this is part of a larger attack on higher education. You know, grad students already live in a lot of really precarious situations. We have low wages, we pay high fees.
Elena Gambino, who is pursuing a PhD in political science, says for many students, the change in their take-home pay could mean the difference between staying on course and dropping out.
All aspects of life are kind of would be affected by this legislation, and that's unfortunate.
Now, the university says its leaders are advocating hard to stop these provisions from moving forward. Right now, the Senate is considering a tax bill that doesn't include the provision on graduate tuition waivers. Now, if that version passes in the Senate, the House and Senate would have to compromise on a version of the tax plan, and that final version is what would make it to President Trump's desk, Frank.
Yeah, we'll see if we get to that point, Nina.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.